Colin, good morning.
Good morning, Sean.
Thanks very much for joining us here on the Daily Program this morning. Now, looking at gene therapy, it's still considered a fairly experimental treatment. How exactly does it work?
Well, at the moment, it doesn't work. The way it would work is that if somebody has a malfunctioning gene that is causing them an illness, now there are probably a number of clever approaches, but in its basic form, the idea with gene therapy is that you would replace that malfunctioning gene with a functioning copy that would then cure the individual of their illness or their condition.
Now, when we talk about it in regards to the Olympics or in regards to athletes, exactly what kind of advantage would that give an athlete?
Depends quite how you might think about using it. So we know that genetics is really important for athletic performance. We can estimate that roughly 50% of the differences between us in the way we perform sport are down to genetic differences between us, and similarly, roughly 50% of the differences between us in the way we respond to training are down to genetic differences between us. But in reality, that's the result of hundreds to thousands of genes. So if you were to try and use gene therapy to tweak all those genes, if you could do it, you'd absolutely get a performance benefit. But in reality, you could only do a few, and it would be a minimal benefit. However, what you could do with gene therapy is create versions of genes that aren't found naturally, effectively creating superhuman athletes. So a good example, perhaps, would be the IGF-1 gene, where a guy in the States, I think it was Lee Sweeney, who did a lot of, still does a lot of work in this field, he injected that into mice, or used gene therapy to get it into mice, and he found that they got a 15% increase in muscle mass and a 27% increase in strength. So, if you could do that to an athlete, that's a superhuman athlete.
How does it compare with the argument we've seen coming into these games, such as female athletes with too much testosterone or a natural advantage in testosterone having an edge over other competitors? Would there be people with simply better genes, and we would get to the point where, hey, his genes are better than their genes, and that's an unfair advantage?
I don't buy into that argument. I think what we're looking at when we watch athletes is we are effectively interested in seeing people who've done well in the genetic lottery of life that makes them good at sport. But you definitely get a lot of people who say exactly what you just said, that it's an unfair advantage and that we should be leveling the playing field. If somebody has a rare version of a gene that gives them some sort of genetic advantage, we should give that to everybody else. I completely agree with that. I think that's actually what makes it interesting. It's looking to see who's done well and who hasn't.
Now, you mentioned there that if this was to be in use in the current understanding, it would be a fairly minimal advantage. But at the same time, we see pretty much athletes, Olympic athletes and athletes on all sorts of stages going for absolutely at any advantage they can get, no matter how minimal it might be considered. If this were to be considered an unfair advantage, to be deliberately using gene therapy to these ends, how exactly would we test for it?
Testing for gene therapy. So gene therapy is already on the WADA banned list, even although it doesn't work. Until recently, we thought that to test for it, you would need to take a muscle biopsy from athletes. So if you wanted to use IGF-1 to grow more muscle as an athlete, you would need to get that gene into your muscle. It's no use getting it into lung tissue. That's not going to make it stronger. So we thought that to really detect it, we were going to have to take bits of muscle and look for the gene therapy or the gene that had been put into the athlete actually in the muscle cells itself. However, quite recently, an Australian researcher has come up with a system where our team are able to identify gene doping with something called EPO simply by taking a blood sample. Now, EPO is a drug that you've probably heard of. It's really made famous by Lance Armstrong admitting that, he took it. Mm-hmm. But it's actually a naturally occurring hormone in the body. So you could use gene therapy to make your body produce lots of EPO without having to inject it the way Lance Armstrong.
Now, given this is currently an experimental treatment that they haven't quite got a fix on just yet, looking at it in terms of athletes that might look to it as an advantage, how soon do you think that would actually be able to give athletes an illegal edge? I think at this Olympics, we're probably all exhausted with all the drug cheat talk, but say in another 4 years, is this something we're going to be having to look at more seriously?
I think probably we're having to look at it already more seriously. So there are roughly 2,000 clinical trials have been done on gene therapy. As a treatment for illness, clearly there's a great scientific effort to make it work. At the moment, there are a few hundred trials going on. But remember, to get any sort of drug or treatment into the clinic, it has to go through a rigorous set of tests. First of all, in the test tube, then in cells, in animals, and then in people, it will have several phases of trials. And the aim of those trials is to make sure, firstly, that it works, and secondly, that it's safe. But if you were an athlete willing to take a risk and take a chance, you don't need to wait for those trials to be finished. You could approach a company that's doing a clinical trial and see if you can get them to give you their prototype treatment. And that might sound a bit crazy. Nobody would want to take medicine that hasn't been tested. Mm. But you have to remember a couple of things. One is, any of these performance-enhancing drugs, the vast majority of them have never been tested, and we know that at least some athletes take them. But also, there's documented evidence of athletes trying to get hold of prototype gene therapy systems. Lee Sweeney and his IGF-1, he states that he's had coaches and athletes phoning him up all the time asking to be his guinea pig to try this out in humans. And actually, a famous German coach called Thomas Springsteen, who was put on trial a few years ago, in the trial it came out that he had sent a number of emails attempting to get hold of an EPO gene therapy system, which would have given his athletes more puff, being better endurance exercise. And he sent several emails trying to get hold of this drug. And this drug at the time was still only being tested in mice, and actually the company, Oxford Biomedica, who were making it, shelved it before they ever took it into a human clinical trial.
Mm. Well, Colin, it's certainly a fascinating concept. It's a fascinating thing to obviously keep our eyes on. Do appreciate your time coming on this morning, having a bit of a chat with us about it.
Not at all. It's been very nice to speak to you, Sean.